Silence, silence, silence in the court of cyber. Silence in the name of cyber. Cybersecurity is hard. AI is complicated. Logs are everywhere. But fear not, Cybercast is here to make sense of it all. So, today on the show, every security vendor is slapping AI on their products like it's some kind of magic fix. But when it comes to actually improving security operations, what's real? What's just marketing fluff? Today, we're cutting through the noise with Marvin Goa from Elastic, who's been at the forefront of making AI actually useful for security teams. We'll be talking about how security teams are operationalizing AI today, what lessons have been learned along the way, and what's coming next. Plus, we'll discuss what AI is actually good for. And of course, where it's just a total disaster. Today we have here with us Marvin Goma from Elastic, and I am Ronny Janhol from NeverHack Estonia. So let's get into it. And of course, call to action. Yes, if you like this episode, then please like, comment, follow, and tell your friends and friends of your friends that cyber is important and that they need to listen to Cybercast. And if you have an interesting topic that you would like to include to the show, then just pop us an email, comment. And you can also write to cybercast@neverhack.com. But Marvin, you're here for the third time, and this is good. So please, Marvin.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Ronny. It's always nice to be on this podcast. Even before I go into introducing myself, I just want to say you're doing a great job. There's been good feedback from my network every time they hear the episodes. So it's really good to be back here. A little bit about myself. Well, my name is Marvin Goma. I work for Elastic as a security specialist. So I'm part of the global security specialist team. I've been with Elastic for, it's going to be 4 years in June. And I just focus on the security solution that we've built on Elastic. Previously, I was working with IBM in the Nordics, covering both private sector and public sector in what we called SIOC at the time, which is security intelligence and operations consulting. So I just love everything to do with security operations and intelligence. And I'm super happy to be here. And the topic is interesting as well because it's really impacting the domain of security operations and intelligence.
So hype versus reality, cutting through the AI buzzword. So AI is today a marketing goldmine, I would say. So just after blockchain, we're now in AI. We see vendors making wild claims about what their AI can do. So what's one thing you keep hearing about AI in security that just makes you, you know, shake your head?
I think the first one is the fear that AI is going to replace humans, right? To be quite honest, the first time I used ChatGPT and I saw its capabilities, I also thought, oh, damn, this thing is going to replace my job, right? And I think some people have created this fear, and a lot of people are scared of it, right? But when you really think about it, the biggest myth right now is AI is going to replace humans. Personally, I don't believe that. And I think also Elastic has taken a position where we don't generally necessarily believe that. But however, I like to quote a certain professor from Harvard who said, AI is not necessarily going to replace humans, but humans who are effectively using AI are going to replace human beings that are not using AI. And I think for me, that is the fundamental demystifying or demystification of what AI is going to do in terms of impact on humankind.
But in sense of market, where do you feel that the vendors oversell AI?
I think overpromising. AI is not suddenly going to be the all-knowing, all-solving technology, as most vendors like to promote it to be. And then also where they oversell, there's usually a confusion, right? We don't draw the line between what is machine learning and what is AI. And a lot of vendors are selling what has been traditionally machine learning, and they're just, you know, marketing it as AI. I think those are the oversellings that I'm seeing in the market today, right? Calling stuff that is not AI in that sense, but then also promising too much. There's a lot of threats we do know that security teams are having to deal with on a daily basis. But some vendors are just coming in and over-promising to say, you know, their AI technology is going to discover all the threats. It's going to discover even threats that haven't happened yet in people's environments. There's a bit of an overselling in terms of the actual value that AI is bringing. But I think we need to take it back to the reality of where AI is today. The technology is still evolving. We're still also trying to figure out, you know, the best way to adopt it and the best way to get relevant results out of it. And there's a bit of an overselling on that part.
So what do you think that, you know, security teams are, of course, skeptical and, you know, down to ground people. But what do you think, what are like two or three questions that they should ask from the... What should they dig through and get answers to understand if this is something that they could use or not?
Absolutely. That's a very good question. I think it starts with understanding the value that AI brings into the workflows. When we purely look at it from a security operations point of view, the value is efficiency, right? Security teams are all about efficiency. And when we talk about efficiency in SecOps, we're talking about getting to those threats really quickly. And then doing the management of those threats in a good time as possible, right? So we're talking about things such as the mean time to detection, the mean time to respond, and all those kind of metrics that are relevant from a SOC point of view. In terms of being skeptical, I think most security teams, first of all, do not believe that AI is all solving, and I don't blame them for not believing it. And then also when you look at how AI, especially generative AI, how it operates in the background with depending on models, those models are developed in various ways, right? There's a lot of concerns around issues such as biasness, issues such as, you know, ethical values in terms of how those models were developed. So in the conversations we encounter with our users and prospects, usually that's where the skepticism comes in, right? So we're looking at... what models are we integrating into Elastic, for example? Who trained those models? What kind of data were they trained on? What were the bias considerations and ethical issues as well? And all those kind of elements to the models that are being used in AI.
So operationalizing AI, I think that when evaluating software or when evaluating some kind of a solution, when you get rid of the fluff, then you will try to, you know, operationalize it. That's where the value comes from. So that's where the things get interesting. So what does it take for an organization to move from AI as a cool idea to actually making it part of their daily security workflows?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it comes down to, for me, I think the adoption of AI in an organization is down to maturity, right? I think an organization needs to understand, first of all, where are they in their security journey? Coming back to the previous question of where vendors are overselling, I like to look at AI as a maturity conversation as well. And where I'm coming from with that is AI is not going to take away the hygiene that we need to do in our organizations, right? So it's just the classic stuff. We need to understand what kind of data we're dealing with in our organizations. Is that data classified? Have we defined proper access roles? If you look at it from a NIST cybersecurity framework point of view, you know, identify, protect, detect, respond, and recover. The identify aspect of it is basically telling organizations to really understand what kind of organization are you, what kind of technology are you using, right? What kind of inventory do you have? Do you have the right protection mechanisms and all those kind of things? That needs to be in place. By the time you're thinking about adopting Gen AI, you need to understand what kind of efficiencies do you want to bring into those workflows that have already been defined into your organization. Mm-hmm. And then once you have that, it makes you understand where the inefficiencies are. And a good place to start off from is just to introduce AI to help with those workflows where there's a lot of inefficiency.
So basically, I'm reflecting what you are saying is that you need to be aware of your current state of maturity.
Absolutely.
And AI is not... AI has option to be a major leap forward, but it has also an kind of option to be a major leap backwards. Or be you can totally fail when you don't have any idea what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Or you're not in a correct place of maturity.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in the EU, where there's a lot of regulation as well, right, in terms of how AI is used. You can be successful or you can really fail, because there's a governance aspect that needs to be considered when you begin to use technology such as Gen AI.
But from your experience, what do you think, what are the biggest barriers for AI adoption? Of course, regulation is one part of that, but is there something else?
Yeah, there is. I mean, there's cost as well. Training these models is not a cheap thing. That's why there's few vendors that are doing like model training or developing these large language models, as we call them. And that means the cost is passed on to the consumers of this technology. So I think one of the things that's a big barrier right now is the cost. It doesn't matter whether you're self-hosting these models in your organization or you're consuming them from the cloud, like with OpenAI and the AWS models or Google's models, it does cost, mm-hmm. right? So you need to plan for that as well. We tend to see that's one of the biggest barriers. The other one is related to compliance or governance or like regulation. I think the biggest barrier is also organizations are not so clear within themselves what kind of data they're comfortable to send to these models. We've seen previously that, you know, private data has been seen being used to train these models. So there's a lot of concerns. There's a lot of, you know, it becomes a barrier for organizations because it's not so clear what kind of data they're comfortable sending to the models.
So it's like one kind of big point that it boils down to is computational cost.
Yeah.
And where that computation is being done. But how do you build confidence in AI-driven security? How do you do that? How do you build confidence? Because you know, we see a lot of hallucinations, and you know, it's a machine that has no feelings, and we cannot like look at it and feel, is it bullshitting me or not?
Right.
How do you build confidence?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Again, this response is going to come from an elastic perspective. One of the things that we saw was so key to address when we started introducing AI capabilities on Elastic was to address the whole security and privacy concern, right? I think for us that was like the biggest thing to address to build confidence for people to begin to adopt the technology itself. Then the other aspect also is in the model selection, right? The worst thing you want to do when you're interacting with generative AI is to be getting rubbish answers, rubbish responses, right? So I think to build confidence, we need to build workflows that are meaningful. We need to get meaningful results at the end of the day. So about efficiency. If I'm chatting with whatever technology it is, whatever model it is that's behind that technology, and I'm just getting garbage answers, it doesn't give me the confidence that this technology actually works.
So this is this. I just recall reading an article a couple of days ago, and it was so fun that I need to share this. So there was an extract from binaries for some product, which name I don't remember at this time. I would say that, but I don't remember at this time. But basically, there was like queries that were built forwarding towards the LLMs. How was it called? So it's a bit of a morning. The kind of system message that, you know, would set the context of what the response should be.
Right.
And it was filled with threats and intimidation. So you are a security analyst. You are being threatened here. You're under threat. You will be fired if you do not give us the correct answer. And you will be fined with $1 million. If you do not do exactly what I say here, and if you do it correctly, you will get $1 million or something like that.
So, right.
To make the AI like do stuff, you know, right. What I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
the prompt engineering.
The prompt engineering. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So, there was an extract from a product was querying ChatGPT or something else with this threats and. So What has changed during last year? What kind of changes do you see?
I think the fundamental change has been, so let's just take a few steps back. We look at ChatGPT, for example, when it broke into the scene, it was so outdated, right? I think the data was going until it was 2021. Mm-hmm. You couldn't ask on latest stuff. And I think one of the fundamental changes is how quick the models are being updated. There's been mechanisms that have been built into model training that allows for these models to be constantly updated with the latest data. I think that helps to build that confidence aspect that we were talking about when it comes to AI adoption in organizations. The other thing that is a hot topic right now is and then also just the price associated with the use of these technologies. The hardware itself, when we talk about NVIDIA and their GPUs, there's a huge conversation around should you know, the hardware that's supporting this technology be that expensive. I think in the last 1 year, we've seen that conversation going the direction that most consumers would want it to go. We need to make this technology as easy to access as possible, because we do definitely see the value to this technology itself. And then also in terms of just the implementation of AI, the agentic AI, for example, it's going to make the use and adoption of AI really easy by making workflows super relevant depending on who's consuming this technology itself. The major changes is basically this technology is getting more relatable. It's getting to a point where people are getting comfortable to actually adopt it for personal use as well as organizational use.
So when considering operationalizing, so what is the first AI-powered workflow that you would think or suggest security teams should focus on?
It's the low-hanging fruits, right? So I think the biggest problem that we have in the security space, we've had for a long time, is alert fatigue. Security teams tend to consume so many tools in our environment, so many security tooling, that results in a lot of noise from an alerting perspective. And we do know that not all alerts are equal in that sense. So you really want to get to the high priority alerts in that sense. So for a security team that's looking to adopt AI, I would say those kind of workflows, right? The security analyst workflows, the analytics workflows, is a good starting point in terms of getting to use AI itself. And then we can take a few steps back and look at, you know, what causes alerts in our environments. It's the tooling themselves. And those toolings are coming with detection capability. So if you can use AI to really help you with, like, defining and authoring those detections in your environment in a way that it makes sense for the context that you have, for the type of data that you have, for the type of organization that you are, I think that's also a very nice place to get started with adopting AI in security teams.
So Elastic dropped some pretty impressive AI capabilities at the end of 2023. And it has given some time for real-world adoptions. So what's kind of one real-world example that you can bring out how a customer has successfully integrated AI?
That's a very good question. You're quite right. So there's interesting stuff we've been doing the past 1 or 2 years. We introduced the Elastic AI Assistant for security, and like the name says, we're trying to assist security teams to really cut to the chase, to really get to those things that really need their attention. So we introduced Elastic AI Assistant for security, and then we followed that up with introducing Attack Discovery, really cool, neat feature. I'll talk a little bit about that later on, hopefully. In terms of real-world examples, we currently do have a lot of customers who are evaluating our AI workflows on the security product. There's already customers that have deployed this in production as well. In terms of the success that they've seen, it's coming down to the efficiencies as well. Related to the alert fatigue that I mentioned earlier on, a lot of security teams also have few people to work in their workflows, right? They're understaffed in that sense. And that brings in a great opportunity for automation. We can automate a lot of these workflows, and AI really helps to really automate, you know, like the security analyst workflows, the investigation workflows. We do have a customer that has implemented GenAI on Elastic Security, and they've seen a drastic reduction in terms of the time that is spent on doing the investigations. When they compared to how much time they were spending doing investigations prior to adopting AI and after the adoption of AI, they saw a 34% reduction time.
How much?
34%.
34%, yeah.
In terms of the investigation time.
Yeah.
And interestingly, this customer also tracked how much they were spending on AI. When you look at how we've adopted AI on Elastic, we're basically saying bring your own LLM, bring your own AI. So like if you've got a subscription with OpenAI, or it could be AWS Bedrock or Google Gemini. Or those,
it could be many.
It could be many, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then also if you can host your own models on-prem, you can bring that to Elastic as well, right? So for those people that need to pay for a cloud service for the LLM, for example, OpenAI, you can also track how much you're spending in terms of the tokens that you're using to interact with the AI assistant on Elastic as well. So this customer that I'm talking about, when they saw the value in terms of the reduced time to investigation versus how much they were using, I mean, how many tokens they were consuming and paying for using, I think they were using OpenAI, there's still cost savings in that sense, right? So the key value takeaways for our customers is those efficiencies in the workflows. So we're reducing the time to investigate, the mean time to detect, the mean time to respond. But then also, yeah, there's a cost saving, right, associated with that as well.
So where have you been surprised in generative AI? What has surprised you in terms of effectiveness or
You go, wow. I will answer that question from an Elastic point of view. So I did mention attack discovery. I think we were the first vendor to introduce this technology, and we launched it during RSA last year in the US, and people were mind blown. So what attack discovery basically does is the typical workflow of security operations folks is they report for work on a morning. The first thing they usually look at is how many alerts do I have in my alert queue? Then they begin to do that investigation. Now, if you're a typical enterprise organization, typically it's a few hundred alerts a day. A human being will need to go through those alerts one by one. It could take minutes, it could take hours. If things are really critical, it could take days sometimes. Now, what attack discovery does, and this is AI-powered workflows, is Elastic allows you to define what we call a knowledge base. Alerts are part of that knowledge base. So you can give those alerts as a knowledge base to the AI, the AI technology, which is attack discovery in this sense. It will go through those alerts. And then what it does is if there's an attack that's going on in your environment, it will actually identify the alerts that are associated with that attack. So say there's a ransomware that's going on in your environment, and then maybe there's another separate attack. Maybe it's data exfiltration, for example, right? So what attack discovery will do is it will give you a report. What are the impacted assets? What are the entities associated with that attack? How many alerts are associated with the ransomware attack? And then it will look at the data exfiltration attack as well and give you similar context. But then this is information that is within the context of your business. Now, typically, that's going to take minutes, sometimes to hours, sometimes to days for a human being to do that. Attack discovery does that in less than a minute.
Less than a minute.
And that's mind-boggling. It was a wow moment when I saw that. And every time I run that demo, I'm wowed all the time because I know how much time it does save security teams in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So That's really good. We can do more in less time, but also do you fear a little bit? Maybe when the machine fails, huh?
You mean AI failing in that sense?
Yeah.
I don't fear. Ronnie, one of the things that I believe in, again, it goes back to what I said earlier on. AI is not going to replace humans. Humans with AI are going to replace humans without AI. The other thing also that I'm also usually encourage people to do is AI is great, but always verify, right? The human being is still going to be key in these workflows. And I can dare say, even in the next 10 years, even in the next 20 years, the actual ultimate decision is going to be human driven and not AI driven. AI is just an enabler. It brings in efficiency, but like you said at the beginning, AI doesn't have emotions. It doesn't have the intuition that human beings have. You know, that gut feeling, you can't program that, right? And ultimately, the human being still needs to make that decision. So if AI fails, that's where the human being comes in as well. yeah, and then makes the final call.
Yeah, I understand. So it's not the fear of AI in a sense of in that sense, but over reliance and perhaps taking it as granted, that kind of thing. So, but that's kind of part of life. It's happened in kind of Stone Age when someone invented a wheel and they said, oh,
yeah.
So it's the same. It's just progress. So is there some kind of specific workflow you would like to dig deeply more into?
Yeah, I mean, so there's a question that you asked earlier on how analysts are using AI to speed up investigations, threat hunting, or incident response as well. So again, when you look at the security operations workflow, the core functions of security operations teams is to collect relevant data and then also create interesting detections on that data. Detections we know that result into alerts, but then not all alerts are equal. Like I said earlier on, you need to do that triage process in that sense. And then after that, there's the actual investigation of the high priority alerts, and then you need to take that response on stuff that requires that kind of workflow. So in terms of how analysts are using AI today to speed up those workflows, from an Elastic perspective, we've infused AI capabilities at all those layers of the core functions. Late last year, we introduced something that is called automatic import. And basically what automatic import does is, again, going back to the models, they've been trained on a lot of data. Most of that data is from the internet. It gets to a point where if I want to onboard certain data onto Elastic, say I'm an OT environment, right? Mm-hmm. Operational technology environment, industrial control system kind of environment. I might be using some Siemens system in my OT environment that somebody's been using for some time out there. And we know that these models have been trained to understand the data coming from those systems. So what automatic import does is, if I want to onboard that data onto Elastic, Elastic doesn't have a lot of out-of-the-box OT data source integrations. Yeah. You can pass that data through the automatic import, and then it will create what we call an integration for you. Basically, it's parsing and normalizing that data, adding a bit of a schema and a bit of a structure to that data. And that enables you to do the rest of the workflows. So the detect, the investigate, and whatever other workflows come after that.
So you're leveraging LLM. Yes. You feed that data kind of log structure that it has, you know, you've never seen. You don't have a parser for that. And that would, based on that sample data, which can be, you know, more the better, it will produce a parser.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic.
It's actually intriguing. I'm working with a customer. Of course, I can't mention them, but they're a Danish customer. They're in the OT space, and they just love it. Like, it saved them so much time. And again, a lot of folks that work in security know that data onboarding is one of the parts that takes the most time, defining those parsers, defining those pipelines. But again, if you can do this in a matter of seconds with AI-driven workflows, it just saves you so much time.
Absolutely. So I've been on that spot, you know, my fingertips sore because RegExp, building that RegExp, and you know, that's not the fun thing to do. That's not a fun thing to do.
No.
So this is most likely
It's a game changer. I mean, and when you look at people that do surveys on security teams, a lot of the survey results actually show that security teams spend over 60% of the time in the data collection phase. And this is in a world that we're living in where threats are evolving all the time. You don't want to be spending so much time on data collection. It is an important function, but obviously where you want to spend most of your time is doing the analytic and discovering threats.
Yeah.
But we all know that data collection takes a lot of time, and this is why we think the automatic importer is really a game changer, even in the data collection phase as well.
Yeah. This is a step before going fully into unstructured, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, then the other part, and just to still stick to, you know, how analysts are using AI to speed up investigations. For me, security is amazing with all the tooling that we have today, but also it has to make business sense. It's a huge investment to put into security. We need to retain business value in all the investments that are being done. The other thing that we're doing with the AI workflows is what we call a custom knowledge base. What do I mean by that? So say, for example, you're an organization that's regulated by DORA, you're regulated by NIS2, or maybe even local regulations in your country. With a custom knowledge base, you can literally bring in a lot of policy documents, ingest them into Elastic, and the AI assistant is able to interact. So at this point, you're interacting with your own organizational policies together with the models that have been trained on public data. So it gives you a little bit more context in terms of what is going on in your environment. You can ask the AI assistant, you know, does this impact my NIS2 compliance in terms of the alerting that you're seeing? And because you're giving it that custom knowledge base, it's able to tell whether you're impacted or not.
Yeah, right?
So we're breaching the gap between private data and publicly trained models using public data in that sense.
Breaching the gap between policy that's on paper and reality that's on the ground, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. On that bombshell, on that bombshell, I want to thank you, Marvin, for coming to the show. And I'm hoping to have you on the show more and more.
Sounds good. Yeah, always a pleasure. Thank you, Ronnie.
Thank you.
Thanks.
If you, listener there, you are you, that's you in a traffic jam. That's you jogging there. If you like the show, then don't leave that to yourself. Share, like, comment, and if you want to hear something specific, some topic of cybersecurity, then let us know. And until next episode, 2 weeks from now. Bye.